What's your favorite film?
God, that's awful.
Favorite?
Awful.
Awful.
Your
favorite film is awful.
Hello, and welcome to Your Favorite Film is Awful, the weekly podcast where we invite guests on to defend their favorite films against negative reviews. As always, I'm Luke. The fucking bastard. Yeah. I fucking hate that guy. He's such a dick.
He is.
And with me as always, the person I actually like, it's Charlie. How you doing?
I'm magic, my man. I'm good. I'm good as always. How are you though, man?
I'm very well. I myself am well. Luke can fuck off though.
Oh, okay, yeah, but I've enough of him.
Such a dick.
He is. It's always negative.
There's
negative reviews he always brings out.
Oh my god.
I know.
It's painful. It's physically painful.
It's my tits.
Do you have a guest?
I do have a guest today.
Can you introduce that guest, please?
Today, the guest is an actress called Holly. Say hello, Holly.
Hello.
Hello. How are we doing?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. What have you been up to? Have you seen any good films? Done anything interesting?
The latest film I saw was Little Women at the cinema with my mum, and I just thought it was absolutely incredible. So we saw it literally 2 days before Christmas, which I think was a perfect time to see us because it's Christmassy AF. So,
okay.
So I absolutely loved it. Have you seen that?
I haven't, but Charlie, you saw it, didn't you?
I have, yeah, and I agree. It has got a Christmassy feel to it, actually. Mm-hmm. I loved it as well. I thought it was fucking brilliant.
It's Florence Pugh who stood out for me, the one who played Amy. Yep. I just thought, I've never seen her in anything else, but I just thought she was incredible.
She's really good in it.
Yeah.
I'm a big Saoirse Ronan fan, but I think that it's the first time I've seen Florence really show her chops that I've seen. Maybe I haven't seen enough, but I think, yeah, I agree. She was one of the standouts.
She's great. Yeah, I loved her.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Greta Gerwig, so I really, really, really enjoyed Little Women.
Okay, but like, if we're saying it's Christmassy by our own standards,
yeah,
is there a Christmas hat? Because if it doesn't have a Christmas hat, then it's not a Christmas film.
Yeah, we have a set of rules for like, it needs to have a Christmas hat, it needs to have...
And it needs to be about family and
Christmas,
connection.
It needs a Christmas tree.
Exactly. Did we say Christmas tree?
I don't know, but I'm making
that. Oh, you've attached that to the list, have you?
Yeah, it needs to be about family.
So is it about family?
Definitely about family.
Okay. 100%. Are there Christmas trees?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. So far, so good. Is there a Christmas hat?
No, but there's snow. A lot of snow.
There is snow.
Winter coats.
That's not a hat.
Maybe there was. Maybe one of the extras snuck
good
in.
Good try. It was a good try.
It's close. It quite tick them all off.
Oh, so close. Was it 2 out of 3? Ain't bad. Anything else?
Oh, what else have I seen recently? Next on my list is The Gentleman. Is that the whole title of the film, The Gentleman?
The Gentleman,
Yeah, that is definitely next on my list, just because I'm a massive fan of Hugh Grant. And one of my favourite films is Four Weddings and a Funeral. And I just think it could be more opposite from what I've seen in the trailers.
I've seen both of those movies, and yes, it could be more opposite, especially from Hugh Grant. Yeah.
Fair enough. And Charlie, what have you been up to this week?
I'm always a busy boy when it comes to films. Okay, so first of all, I see 1917. I thought it was good. It is what it is.
Has its moments.
Yeah, has its moments.
I've recently looked into the behind the scenes of it, and it's just fucking crazy.
It's insane.
Guys on motorbikes with cameras tracking people. It looks real good.
Cinematography's great. Roger Deakins is always on top form. It's no Dunkirk for me, but I did enjoy it. I also watched at the Prince Charles Cinema this week, El Topo. It is a Spanish Western.
Okay.
Like a kind of psychedelic Western that I wasn't expecting. I've never seen a movie be quite absurdist with its humour and then immediately show you something, some of the most horrific stuff you've ever seen in the space of like a second. Yeah.
Ooh.
I really enjoyed it. I think it goes on a bit too long towards the end, but I really enjoyed it. I think it's a really interesting take on the genre. They almost take the piss a little bit out of Sergio Leone. I don't know if that's on purpose or not. Like, there's a bit where one of the outlaws, like cowboys, puts a balloon on the floor. And Joe the balloon goes, just doing that. And they're like, and there's like a standoff as the balloon's like, and then the balloon sort of, you know, stops doing that, they all start shooting each other. But like, it's like a piss take of like, I'm pretty sure it's referencing Leone because he does a lot of stuff with sound like that. But yeah, it's got a lot to say about sort of like masculinity and stuff of the time and of those movies. It's really interesting. It's it's a weird movie. It's not for everyone. Yeah, it's a very strange film. But I can't say I didn't enjoy myself. I also watched QT8, I think it's called, which is Tarantino's documentary on Quentin Tarantino that's just come out.
Okay.
On him as a filmmaker up to Hateful Eight. Really enjoyed it. Some really nice interviews of everyone who's been in these movies and is friends of him. The only thing I did think was a bit weird is they kept cutting in this Harvey Weinstein stuff. And I know Harvey Weinstein was a big part of his career, but it's the way it happens. It's like sinister music plays and then they talk about Harvey Weinstein for a bit. But it doesn't quite have much of a relation to what we're talking about in the... It's weird because like the whole thing feels like a celebration of Tarantino and his movies and then you have this weird... And I guess you have to talk about that, but I just feel like they sort of... It was the way it was structured. It kept bringing it up. It was just a weirdly placed. Yeah, it was kind of strange. And then I also saw Parasite.
Oh, everyone's saying that's really good.
Yes.
And yeah. What are you saying about it?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Adam Sandler impression. It's 5 out of 5 for me, mate.
5 out of 5?
The bong. My boy Bong Joon-ho, mate. He's delivered again. I'm part of the Bong Hive, which is what we're called if you're a fan of Bong Joon-ho. It's called The Bong Hive.
The Bong Hive.
And yeah, honestly, yeah, I think it's... I need to rewatch Memories of a Murder again, but for me, it's either... It could be... It's second place so far, but depending on how I rewatch Memories of a Murder, it could be my favourite of his. I'm not sure, but I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, honestly, just fucking... I don't know. It makes me sad. Like, do you know what he said in the Oscar speeches? Like, you know, if you get past the, you know...
The one inch barrier
of text on screen, you open yourself up to way more stories. And I couldn't think that's more true, because I think if people watch this movie, it would blow people's minds away, but they're never going to, because they're, you know, they don't want to watch subtitles.
A couple days after he said that, it was announced that it's in very early talks for a US remake.
I know. mental. Although I did hear apparently it's a TV series and apparently he's involved with Adam McKay. So I don't know. I feel less weird about that. And then finally, I watched Tony Scott's last movie before he died, Unstoppable, starring Chris Pine and Denzel Washington, in a movie about a train that accidentally gets sort of let off, I guess, or put without anyone driving it. But the power's on, so it just keeps going forward and it's picking up speed. And if it carries on, it's going to hit this turn in and basically fall into this town. And basically it'll blow up the town because it's full of like dangerous materials or whatever that could explode it or whatever. It's based on a true story. And it sounds like So Tony Scott, as you know, is basically the style that Michael Bay stole. So Michael Bay took Tony Scott and cranked it up to insanity. And so imagine the movie I just pitched to you, directed essentially, you know, by Tony Scott with, you know, or if you haven't seen the Tony Scott films, Michael Bay. It's like this intense action movie and it's so much fun. But yeah, it's just about a guy who made a mistake and a train's like, but it's like, it's proper. There's parts of it I think of like, dated in a sense where it's a bit cheesy, but I think the dialogue and the character work and the action and the tension is phenomenal. And like, you're actually seeing Denzel run across the top of the train and jump over, but like, he's actually doing it. It's like, there's one point where it's like a helicopter that's flying at the same
velocity.
Height as the fucking train, as another helicopter's on top and a guy is like, swinging down to try and land on top of the train. And I'm like, and there's no CGI. I'm like, this is insane. Like, this is actually a really fun movie. And I really, really enjoyed it. It is what it is on the tin. But yeah, I think only Tony Scott could make that movie as fun as what it was. So yeah, really enjoyed that. That was my week. So Luke, what have you watched this week?
So this week I did that thing where, you know, you sat down, you're relaxing, you know, like, I could watch a film, but I don't want to watch a film because I don't want to commit 2 hours of my life to a movie. So instead you watch like 3 episodes of a TV show and end up spending 3 hours in front of the TV anyway. I did that. So I watched all of The Mandalorian. I finished that now. I recommend... So I know we were like neither here nor there about it. Watch it.
Oh, it does actually get better.
It gets better.
Okay, cool.
There's one episode, one standalone episode set in like one location, which is really good. And then the end, like, just brings it all back up.
It's Tiger Tea, the last episode, isn't it?
Yep. And then I watched the Harley Quinn show, the Harley Quinn animated TV show.
Oh, I heard about that. That sounds great. I've heard really good things, actually.
It got announced with DC TV, and then it just, like, fell under the radar because it's on DC TV. Yeah. Who's watching DC TV? But I got a chance to watch some of it, and it's just so funny. Yeah. It's so good, and it's good. like 15, I guess, because she's effing and blinding, and there's lots of blood, and you're just like, this is hilarious. This cartoon was made for adults.
Yeah.
And especially in like this era of Bob's Burger and BoJack Horseman and Archer, where it's like, these aren't for kids.
Yeah.
I think it's really at the right time to come out.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that.
I heard that there's a scene where Lois Lane's tied up and Superman comes in and something, and he's like, he just leaves her, doesn't he, for some reason? He's like, yeah, it's fine, you'll figure it out. Like,
so during that episode, Robin has declared to the world that it's Robin and Harley Quinn are enemies.
Oh, that's it, yeah. And she's like, I want someone more, like,
She's like, no, I want a fucking grown-up. Because I can't punch you in the face because you're a child. Yeah.
That's great.
So the whole episode is that dynamic. But yeah, she's got Lois Lane tied up because she's like, okay, Superman's going to be my nemesis.
Yeah.
And he bursts in and he's like, oh, how you doing? We're going to have that for dinner tonight, yeah? Cool. Just one second. And then the wall explodes and Robin rolls in. Just like, oh, looking at me, so cute. Go on, punk. You've got this. See you later, Lois. And then just fucks off.
That's fucking great.
It's like, what are you doing? Yeah. You're leaving Lois Lane with some criminals. Just like, yeah, this kid can handle it. It's so funny.
That sounds funny. I need to watch that.
And then the last thing that I've been watching more of is The Witcher.
Oh, right.
Netflix original TV show. I haven't finished it yet, but after you get through like the first, well, get past all the exposition, there is like a really nice story there. And I'm really enjoying it. It's lots of fun. Henry Cavill is really good in the role. And there's some cool monsters. So everything you could want from that type of TV show.
Cool.
But yeah, no real films that I've watched though. So
that's still good. That's still good.
You know, this is primarily film, but we don't have to watch film all the time. We can play games and watch TV.
You can live a boring life of not watching films if you want, mate. I'll enjoy mine. Sit in a dark room on my own.
No, I just watched several mini films.
Yeah.
That culminated into a longer film. Because I couldn't be bothered to sit down and just watch a normal length film.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think I'm pretty sure there's been a week where I've just watched the TV, like Watchmen or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Holly.
Hi.
You are on Your Favourite Film is Awful, so getting away from all this TV talk. What film have you brought to us?
I have brought to you Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again.
Mamma Mia 2.
Here We Go Again.
Interesting.
Holly couldn't resist picking it.
Could not resist.
I couldn't resist.
Okay, and for those at home who either haven't watched Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, or haven't watched it recently, could you give us a brief summary of the plot?
Of course. For all the people who live under a rock, here is what Mamma Mia 2 is about. So it takes place 5 years after Mamma Mia, and Sophie is reopening this hotel that was built by her mum, and we learn early on that her mum passed away a year ago. And when we learn that out, it sort of becomes more of a prequel. It's about her mum's journey from her graduation up to the point where she had Sophie. And it's told through a series of flashbacks about how her mum, who's called Donna, about how Donna met Sophie's three possible dads. And it's told using ABBA songs and wonderful 70s costumes, and all set on the fictional Greece island called Kalikari. So, yeah, that's pretty much
the movie. That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
I don't know why guests always forget this, but you forgot like a tiny detail. And that's fact, it's like a prequel sequel. And also, it's fucking awful.
But is it a prequel sequel?
Well, yeah, it's
because I was thinking about it, because like, if it was a prequel sequel, it'd have to be a sequel to a prequel, right? But
well, no, it's a prequel and a sequel.
I guess technically you could compare it to The Godfather 2, because The Godfather 2...
That's what a lot of people compare it to.
Yeah, I've heard. Because in The Godfather 2, you watch young Don Corleone while simultaneously watching Michael Corleone in the present. So it's a prequel and it's a sequel, but it's not a prequel sequel.
No.
I don't know what you'd call it.
Just both.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know we've just started, but yeah, I would say if you love The Godfather 2, you'll love Mamma Mia.
They're basically the same movie.
Well, it's not, is it? Though? It's actually pure disaster.
Okay, Godfather 2 didn't have the ABBA music, but apart from that...
And I think that makes it a lesser movie.
They can be more similar.
You've heard it here
first. I'm joking, guys. People just turning off like, what is Charlie? What's happened to Charlie?
Yeah, you went from the film guy to Mamma Mia 2 is better than The Godfather 2.
It's definitely not, but...
It's, hey, different categories,
The Godfather 2 is better, but just to put that out there, guys. I'm sorry, Holly. Holly's going to kill me.
So, Fika B gives it 1 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Not worth your money, time, and emotions. Everyone is saying, singers in the second part are great. Guess what? I can play ABBA on YouTube and enjoy the music. I want to watch a movie and see an interesting plot followed by music. And not some random scenes spinning around and guys singing songs. First movie, second music. This is pure disaster. I can't forgive myself for watching this. Young Donna actually looks like a whore, unfortunately.
Yes.
Because none of her relationships were presented as emotional relationships. It was more like one night stand. And Donna actually liked all of them in the first movie.
Okay, well, I hope you can somebody forgive yourself for watching it. What I would say to that, Donna, it's right after her graduation, so she goes traveling. She just wants to see as much of the world as possible. And she does happen to meet these three different guys. And yeah, I could agree that she's not emotionally invested before things turn physical. But, you know, she's there. She's like, life is short, the road is wide. Let's make some memories. Let's have some fun. And she does end up having genuine feelings for each of the guys. There is one that she does fall quite deeply in love with, but she does have feelings for each of the three men. So, yeah, there you go.
They all seem like lovely guys as well. You know, they're not just some, you know, some chads. You know, they got a bit more to them than just, you know, good looks.
And he said he didn't want to what was it he said he didn't want to see guys dancing and singing, or what did he say?
He didn't want to, and not some random scenes spinning around and guys singing songs.
Why wouldn't you want to see that? that was my argument.
Hey, I just present the reviews. I don't know this person's
mind.
You're
supposed to reply as him.
No.
Just get into character,
because then it's two against one and I'll feel bullied. So how do we feel about young Donna looks like a whore?
Well, when you first said that, I thought he meant like literally
just, looks,
looking at her. She looks at her and I was like, no, what are you talking about? These outfits are beautiful. And she's so beautiful.
She is very beautiful.
I resent that. But then when you went on, I understood why he said that he looks like a whore. But do you know what? I just feel that she was in... the moment,
yeah, living carefree.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
There's nothing wrong with a woman, you know. He was going out traveling. He's trying to find herself, you know.
Exactly.
She could be as promiscuous as she wants to be.
Yeah,
this is
just old school thinking that a lady sleeping with many people is a whore, but a man sleeping with many people is a player.
Absolutely.
Need to get out of that mindset. Everyone's a player. This is the game.
Yeah.
So we're gonna move on to
Luke dropping knowledge.
Yeah. Akshata. With a half star review. This is broken into 5 points, so we get to argue each point. Isn't that going to be fun?
Bring it on, I can't wait.
So, first point, plotless, felt like it was thrown together for the sake of it.
Oh, that's it.
That's the first point.
Okay.
So, how do you feel about it not having a plot?
Well, okay, to start with, it's a prequel, so the plot's already there. The plot's already set in Mamma Mia, so this is just, it's more like a behind the scenes of Mamma Mia. And you know what? I'm not going to argue that it was the greatest story in film that I've ever seen, because the plot is told through the use of ABBA music, so...
Which only makes it better, surely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so point two, really hard to follow what's going on.
Well, if it's really hard to follow, then that makes me think it's a complicated plot. And as she said in point one, there is no plot.
Oh, shit. That was
good answer. Good rebuttal.
Thank you. Moving on.
Although, you know, that was a great rebuttal. I know I shouldn't say this, but I did feel that a little bit. I did find it quite confusing in places. But yeah, you made a good point there.
Yeah,
I guess.
The plot was just too good for you.
Yeah, it's too smart for me.
Number three. Had the piss rank stench of patriarchy all over it. Everything is good for Sophie because her hotel opens, she gets pregnant, and her bum bitch of a man comes back. Dump him. Literally all of the men in Donna's travels weren't really interested in her and just wanted to smash.
If that's true, though, why would they still be sort of hanging around with the daughters and, like, making an effort?
Absolutely.
So I don't agree with that. I think... And I don't think they come across as, like, douchebags, really. Do they?
No,
like,
not at all.
Douchebag. I can't remember if I said douchebag.
But, total douche.
Do you know what I mean? Total douche, man. Douche. Like, no, I said that. They come across like dickheads. That's it. There we go. It's a bit more...
Wankers.
Wankers, yeah. Oh, I lost my accent there. That happened. So, I feel like they seem like nice people. And they're never, like, rude to her. You know what I mean? They're quite, you know, they're charming. They're not... Do you know what I mean? They don't come across that that's what they want. They seem like genuinely interested in her as well, I feel like.
Hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, piss rank's a bit strong. Yeah, I totally echo what Charlie said, that the three guys make such an effort to be in both Donna and when they find out about Sophie's life, they make such an effort to be in her life. And yeah, they're good guys. They're good guys. And what else is it she said about Sophie?
Everything's good for Sophie because her hotel opens, she gets pregnant, and her bum bitch of a man comes back.
Right, okay. Well, the whole idea behind it is that Sophie says her mum has dedicated her life to her, so she wants to dedicate her life to her mum. So that is the reasoning behind opening the hotel. And, okay, Skye is away in New York, I think. It's some sort of... You don't find out too much about why, so you just know it's something to do with his work. But he comes back and that's a total surprise to Sophie, as is the pregnancy. So, yeah, and everything she ever wanted. I mean, her mum has passed away a year ago, but she does get what she wanted, like the family with Skye, but it all comes very unexpectedly. So there's nothing, everything she planned out hadn't really, it didn't really go to plan, really. So, yeah, what she wanted... has come to her, but not in the way she thought.
Okay. Point four. Get a fucking DNA test and stop this MFing nonsense.
Well, you do that. There's no movie.
Fair point.
Yeah, you got us there. You got us there. Point five. Hate, hate, hate.
No, no, no. Love, love, love.
Perfect. But I'm loving these.
Mic drop.
So this isn't a point, but, you know, it's just tacked on at the end. Lily James, darling, you were great. Love you, sweetie. Use protection.
Use protection.
Again, you would have no movie.
Love you, sweetie. There's nothing fun in using you get protection.
Where's the fun in that?
Listener,
live on
practice
the edge.
Safe sex. Do not listen to these.
No, I see that. I see Love
unless
on the Edge.
Unless you're actually in a musical with ABBA songs, use protection unless you want to suddenly be in a position where one of three people is your child's father.
If you don't use protection, everyone, it's really weird. A really weird thing happens. Everyone in the world starts singing ABBA songs with you.
That's
like,
true.
Just break into song.
That's happened.
Yeah,
that's happened.
Yeah, if you hear ABBA music, that's like the sort of saying, did you use...
Have you had protection?
Yeah, did you use protection?
It's saying that you're living your best life.
Living
if
the best life.
If you can hear ABBA's music after, you know you've gone down the right. Holly right now, I feel like, is like Neo in The Matrix when she's just batting off, you know, all these negative reviews, mate, like with one hand. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, let's see if you can keep it up, or if it'll be like in Matrix 2, where just pull out
a knife, everything.
Hit you in the hand, and then you bleed, and it's like, actually, you're just human, it's fine, you're gonna die. Because next we have Michael M.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie musical selling consequence-free sex to the millennial generation. I went to see it with my wife because she loved ABBA music, because she sings beautiful second soprano, and it looked... chick flick friendly. That was a mistake. It is no movie to see if you are a man who has made a covenant with his eyes. While there is not lots of what this generation calls nudity. There is suggestive dance, dress, and the main character, the mother, has been intimate with three guys and doesn't know which is the father of her child. I would not recommend this movie at all to any Christian outside of someone female and actively trying to study and counter the destructive messages of our fallen culture.
Yikes.
Wow.
Well, what I would argue to that is, yeah, of course there are consequences that comes, but the whole point is how she deals with these consequences. She does not run. Donna does not run from her troubles. Instead, she puts on her favourite pair of dungarees and opens a hotel, which is what we should all do.
Amazing. I get three dads instead of one. I'm trying, guys.
And as for the suggestive dancing, honestly, I've seen the film so many times, but I cannot. There is dancing, but suggestive dancing. First of all, if there was, is that a massive problem? Yeah. But I honestly cannot think where the suggestive dancing is.
Yeah, I think the dance is quite dancing. Clean.
Yeah, it's very clean. It's very comical. It's silly. I cannot think of the scene you would be talking about. Suggestive dancing.
Unless he's talking about scene where, you know, he stabs him with a baguette. You know, it's quite violent, isn't it?
That was a director's violent. Cut. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He stabs him, didn't he, with a baguette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He pretends like it goes through him, doesn't he? It's quite clever.
Yeah, yeah, clever.
During
like,
the Waterloo,
a GCSE drama fight. Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that it's suggestive dancing and not just suggestive scenes, because there are several scenes where it's like, oh, there's Donna and Man in bed together. Oh, there's Man with very thin cloth covering his genitals.
Yeah,
and he's ready for the intercourse.
But there's a very clever thing the camera does. As soon as Donna and the guy start getting intimate, the camera does a very quick whip away and we just go to the next episode.
Yeah. There you go.
Moves the plot.
Yeah, don't need none of that.
Yeah. Okay, so next we have Joseph with a 1-star review. Honestly, one of the worst movies I have ever seen. I literally felt a pain, which I have felt since Alien Covenant, my worst movie I have actually seen.
Alien Covenant's not that bad.
It's the worst movie I've ever actually seen. This movie should have been illegal in to watch. The only good things are the leads are hot and the film was okay from a technical standpoint. The acting was passable. But my god, the fucking characters, the plot, and the humour was horrible. The music sounded the exact same, and it gave me an anal tumour. And don't say I don't know how to have fun, like some other mentally incapable piece of shit said in the reviews. This movie was bad. The plot was boring, like the rest of the movie, and it had nothing special about it. Goodbye.
Oh, Joseph.
I like that he says goodbye.
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 Polite, keeping it polite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would have really liked like a hello at the beginning just to give it that roundabout.
Or a dear.
To whom it may concern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before watching this film, read my review.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
An anal chimmer. Wow. To that, I'd say, well, maybe you should take the pencil at your rectum.
Brilliant.
Well, you know, it's helping with his anal tumours. Jesus.
The movie made him feel sick. Is that what you said at the beginning?
He literally felt pain.
Well.
And this movie should be illegal to watch.
Illegal?
Illegal.
Hmm.
It is against the law to watch this film if we follow the laws.
Does it based break on any laws?
Joseph.
It's the 8th deadly sin, apparently, to watch Mamma Mia 2. But he said the leads were hot.
Leads were hot and it was okay from a technical standpoint.
So.
The leads were hot.
Leads are hot.
So it went from anal tumour of feeling physical pain to, but it's all okay when the leads are hot.
Yeah.
I'd say rethink your review, Joseph.
Pierce Brosnan's not the lead though. So what's he talking about?
But he is hot.
Yeah.
Mate.
Pierce Brosnan and Lily James is a lot. There's a lot to take in.
There is a lot. There is a lot. The bit where Pierce Brosnan does the a cappella SOS, like calling back from the first film, that bit was great.
Yeah. That's my favourite thing, not just in Mamma Mia, but in life.
Cher turns up, you know?
She does. Yeah. She does do that. She does appear at the end of the film.
It's very fun. So, you know, that bit's fun. Help. I'm joking. Yeah. What else could you say to that, to rebuttal this guy, reckon Holly?
I'm trying to think. What was he saying? He said it was illegal. It gave him so much pain, but yet the leads were hot, so that's okay. It was just such a quick turnaround. Yeah, it was just from pain, illegal. I think Joseph had a good time.
Yeah, I think he's lying to himself.
Yeah. That boy is lying.
I think if he turned off the sound, he would have had a good time. He didn't like the characters, the plot, or the humour.
Mm.
And the music sounded the same. So either the same as ABBA or the same as horrible. So if he'd listened to it on mute, he would have had a nice time.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the fact that the acting is passable, but the characters are shit, the plot shit, humour's shit, and the music shit? But, well, the music sang by them is shit,
Lily's a great actress.
I think she gives such a wonderful performance, and she carries the film, essentially. Mm, I thought she gave a great performance, and she's a beautiful singer as well. Yeah, she does a bit of dancing. I thought the humour, I loved the humour in it, and Julie Walters, who's literally one of my favourite actresses, like, just whenever she's on screen, I just find her hysterical.
I think as well, like, casting Lily James as the sort of younger Meryl Streep was a good casting, because I think Lily has like a similar sort of like charisma and like aura. Like, I feel like that would have been hard to sort of capture. It's like, yeah, you can't really quite explain it. Like, she's quite charismatic. So I think you need someone like to sort of really capture.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I mean? I actually think this film did so well in the casting, both the younger, and because they do look and sound so much alike. Not even
apart from the Pierce Brosnan young version.
He looked a lot like him, and like even his mannerisms and the voice. Maybe the mannerisms, as well. Yeah, because you know, like a lot of films you see when there's like the younger version, and you think, you couldn't have got that anywhere. But yeah, this one I thought did such a good job for the casting. And every ABBA song sounds the same. No, it doesn't. ABBA Gold is what you need, Joseph. Listen to every single one of these songs and come back and tell me all of ABBA music sounds the same. It doesn't. It really doesn't.
Also, although he said about the leads being hot, I have actually heard some complaints from ladies saying that the young versions of the guys weren't very hot, though. How'd you feel about that?
No. Okay, no. Story time. Josh Dillon, who plays young Bill, has been carved by angels. Like, honestly. Carved by angels. You know that scene where he rescues her when she misses the boat, and so he rescues her? I was like, okay, this is a true story. I went to a holiday on Greece, and it was because of him. It's because of that scene in Mamma Mia. I was watching Mamma Mia. It was a scene. I had a bit of wine. And it's a scene where he rescues her on his boat, his massive boat. And then I was like, yeah, why not? And I just had my phone 1 a.m. in the morning, booked a flight to Greece.
Amazing.
I'm not even kidding.
That's absolutely true.
I'm not even kidding. So,
that's amazing.
And so that is extremely. Dream, you have to be pretty hot to be flight to Greece.
I mean, there you go. Completely, Holly is just batting off these negative reviews.
Like, that is the scale. Like, when somebody says, how hot is he? I booked a flight to Greece. That's my answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's how hot.
Literally, I mean, you can't argue with that. Yeah. You can't argue with that.
I didn't find Josh Dillon, spoilers, but.
I can imagine you really searched as well.
Oh, I did. Oh, did I search?
Brilliant.
Every boat, I was like, Josh.
Hello. Excuse me.
Nope.
Just some fat dudes, just like
some guys on holiday. Just leave him alone.
The beer resting on his belly. Like, what do you want?
Satsuki.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm just loving your stereotypical tourist. Just fat guy with a beer on his belly.
I mean, yeah, I just imagine it's just British bald guys with bellies, with just beer, just, you know what I mean, an England football t-shirt.
No, do you know what, like, actually...
round the neck.
That is a spectrum in Greece. It's either that or Josh Dillon. When you go to Greece, there wasn't an in-between. There was no in-between.
Brilliant.
Okay, well, because you were so quick at, like, just smackdowning all the others, I'm actually on my last review now.
Really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you save the best till last.
I mean, that's up for debate. Yeah, it's debatable, really, because this one I got from Letterboxd from Lemon Juice Lily.
It's a oh my god, he's using my own review against me. Oh no!
Oh no! Oh my god!
Oh no, guys!
Oh, this is a twist!
I've been outed! I can't believe it!
Oh,
what a reveal!
Goodness.
What a reveal! God damn it, they know the truth now!
Oh no!
So this is
shame.
A half
shame.
Star
There's a reason
review.
I've been quiet, guys. I'm serious! Amazing!
The plot twist we did not need.
No, I've been caught out.
Adding some drama to the episode.
Oh my
Brilliant.
God.
So this is a half star review, Holly.
Oh.
now, in Charlie's defense, he did make this review on the 29th of July 2018, so he's had some time to mull it over, so maybe his actual review will be different. So half star. This film did not have a single ounce of subtlety. And that's it.
That's it.
He gave it
Holly's
half
face
a star.
You can see the betrayal. I feel bad.
Wow.
I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, so now we're here.
Please
now
do.
I've been
now
outed.
Here.
Now yeah, I've been outed. Yeah, I didn't like this movie. I even contemplated leaving the cinema, which I never do. I always stay to the end, but it was actually one of the first times I ever thought about.
oh my god!
I apologise, guys. I've tried so hard this week to defend it. I tried so hard. This is the first time on the podcast I've had to defend a movie I don't like.
The first time you've had to defend
against
yourself.
Oh my goodness.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that the guy who wrote that review sounds like he would be gorgeous. But also...
That's so sorry.
Probably sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he sounds like a right wanker to me, mate. I bet he's a fat neckbeard sitting behind his computer, you know, making angry reviews.
Yeah, with the beer on his belly.
Yeah, with the beer on his belly. Classic British man, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, what a wanker. I just ultimately disagree with that guy.
Well, yeah. If I might step in as well to disagree with...
Okay.
Lemon Juice Lily, why are you looking for subtlety in an ABBA musical?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
did you watch the first one before you watched the second?
I had, yeah, but it was years before.
And with rose-tinted glasses, you thought there was subtlety in Mamma Mia?
I don't know, I just feel like everything in this movie, I've pretty much agreed with a lot of reviews of... I find it a bit all over the place. I don't quite know what the point is of a lot of it at times.
Who are you? Who am I being sat next to?
I'm a monster. I'm a liar.
Holly, do you have anything to add?
Holly scares me. She's rolled her sleeves up and everything to take on the news. She's batted off everyone.
I'm going to get my angry Scottish.
Yeah, don't fuck with a Scotsman.
Right, Charlie.
Oh,
right.
No.
Oh shit.
That's as that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wasn't even that fat a big of a fan of the dance scenes. I didn't actually think they were that well choreographed. not so much the choreograph, the way they use the camera, shall I say. It's a bit. There's a lot of empty space. I don't know. I just feel like it's
but
not.
You need to
doesn't capture that. Although I must say, I do quite enjoy the bit when they start singing in the hotel. Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Everyone gets up and then she falls off into the. There's no subtlety, is there? But yes, maybe you're right. Maybe I didn't. I went in, you know, thinking it would be subtle. I didn't think that. I just wasn't expecting it to be have none. You know.
This has been great.
Yeah. This is I'm upset. Holly hates me now.
Yeah, Holly. it was as if you were imagining you had the good guy sat next to you this entire time. And in reality, it was the villain.
Nasty piece of shit.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, as for the choreography, you'd have to take that up with Anthony van Ludwig, the film's choreographer.
Oh, no.
And yeah, Saturday. I mean, come on. Come on. You went there looking for subtlety.
Fair. I know.
You don't deserve no subtlety.
You're right, I don't.
I had a feeling, because before we started, you kept going back to the Mamma Mia song. And that was the only song you brought up, because, you know, like they said, I didn't like this song. You're like, oh, the Mamma Mia song was good, though. And I was like, I swear, he said that sentence like five times now.
Okay, so before we get into our reviews and to see how much further Charlie can dig himself in, do you have a question, Charlie?
My question would be, do you prefer this to the first one?
Yes.
100%?
Yes.
What would be your reasons for why you prefer it to the first one?
I'm trying to think of one reason. I mean, if I was to recommend this film to anyone, it would be the same recommendation that I'd give to the first Mamma Mia. I just went into the cinema, it was just pure escapism, and also the costumes were a big thing for me as well. Mm. And I went to see this with my mum, and a lot of the film takes place in like the 70s, so there's a lot of 70s fashion, and it's just so lovely, like my mum saying, oh, I used to have like a skirt like that, or like a coat like that. So I think the film has a sort of different memory for me.
Yeah, of course.
Also, I went to the Cinelon version as well. I did not just stop.
Flew out to Greece. I mean, you really love this movie.
Yeah, I really love this movie. It's so good.
I mean, it's difficult for me because usually I'm, you know, we start this podcast to be positive on films, you know. Mm-hmm. So now that I've become the heel on this episode, I feel bad.
Oh, no, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad.
I did not like this movie. I was actually quite bored. Even though I like Abra a lot.
No, don't feel bad. The songs,
I guess, are good. I say I like Abra a lot, but the songs are good.
I don't know how to feel, Charlie. I don't know how to feel.
So, I want to know what Luke thinks, though. Yeah, I think Luke's hiding some shit as well.
Luke's been very quiet. Yeah. What does Luke
There has to be one of us that likes it, though. Otherwise, we're just, you know,
you know what?
I don't know, I just feel like, it's not fair on Holly, is it?
Oh, it's very fine. True. It's true. Fine.
Well, even though
you... But when I come out, when I first watched the movie, like I'm out and I, you know, gave my rating, I looked at reviews and everyone was like, it's true. A lot of the reviews are like, you don't like fun if you don't like this movie. And I was like, oh, what did I not see? I tried to have fun with it.
Yeah, when looking around, Mark Kermode loved this film.
He loved it. Yeah, he did. I was shocked by that. But, he did like it, yeah.
Well, before I say anything, do you have anything to add to your review just for this film, like recommendation, or was that your recommendation review that you kind of added?
I'll give a wee recommendation.
Yeah, go on then.
If that's right. So yeah, I know, I mean, I'm not going to pretend it's like a masterpiece in filmmaking, and if you don't like the film, that is more than fine, that's absolutely fine, and I'm no way am I ever going to say, oh, that means you don't like fun or whatever. I'm not like that at all. I absolutely love the film, because for me it's just like 2 hours of pure escapism. You know, I didn't go into it thinking I was going to get a life lesson, like any thought-provoking situations or whatever. I just went in for it for the pure joy. Sort of my mum, my gran, went to cinema with my best friend. I just had so much fun with this film. Absolutely loved it. And if you watch the film and it doesn't make you want to put on your dungarees and go to Greece and watch it again. But no, seriously, if people don't like the film, that's more than fine. I just loved it.
Perfect. And Charlie, do you want to like sum up your feelings into a nice, coherent paragraph?
I don't like shit on people's movies, so I'm going to be short and sweet. Yeah, I didn't really like it. It wasn't for me. I feel it's a bit all over the place, and I didn't really understand the point. I don't think the set pieces were particularly interesting either. And
the set pieces?
Yeah, I didn't like the dance sequences, and I didn't feel the cast of the young guys quite represented them as well, in my opinion, as I think they didn't have the charisma. Like I said, with Meryl Streep and Lily James, she has that charisma of, you know, to carry it. Whereas I feel like personally, I didn't find the other guys did in comparison to their counterpart, you know, in terms of Pierce Brosnan and Colin Firth. You know what I mean? They didn't have that And that's not just because they, you know, they're established actors and these guys are new or whatever. It was just because I don't think they have that thing. But yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to say too much, but yeah. That was
okay.
Weird. I understand, you know, it's for people, why people like it. It's fun, I guess.
Fair enough. Okay, so my turn in the spotlight.
Go on, Luke.
Meh. The whole film, why... And also, why does it exist? Because all it does is retell the same story as the first one.
I love how savage Luke gets.
It's one of, like, I get it. Because I think it is pretty easy to follow because they do the cuts quite well, in my opinion.
I think it's more just, why am I going back here?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm very... It's that's why I was so surprised when you picked Mamma Mia 2 instead of Mamma Mia.
And a lot of people love this movie.
I want to get into this. I think the only reason people rate this one higher is because Mamma Mia came out. If Mamma Mia 2 was the first Mamma Mia...
Do you reckon that people would like it?
It would get the same, because it's the same. Mm. People just looked at Mamma Mia with rose-tinted glasses, rated this one what they should have rated the first one, but they'd already made those reviews. Mm. So that's why this one's got a higher rating, in my opinion. But you put your finger up as if to rebuttal me, so... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, about the film's popularity, it could also be down to one word, Cher. Cher.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is
Which, true. As far as I'm aware, she was in like all the trailers and everything, and she pops up in like the last 5 minutes.
She's Andy Garcia as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'd love to have been in that meeting room where they said, who are we going to get to play Meryl Streep's mum? Cher. I don't know how they quite got to that decision.
That's fucking great. That's quite funny.
Cher rides in a helicopter because why wouldn't she?
Yeah, of course. Why not? But yeah, this one, it's one of those. The first one, as we know, took the best ABBA songs. So this one had to like redo a couple and then just take whatever was left and pray for the best. Mm. So that's why it's not got as good a soundtrack as the first one. You can, but come on. Who are you trying to kid here? Stop trying to fool yourself. The first one has a better soundtrack.
Does it? Is it that black and white that it's better? I can't remember the soundtrack of the first one, really. It's been a while.
So, again, rose tinted glasses, but yeah. Because the fact is, in this one, it's Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, where it's the emotion going into a song being like, hey, fuck you, but love will prevail sort of thing. And the SOS with Pierce Brosnan are the only two bits that was like, yeah. And even when I was watching it, I was like, I'm a bit bored. And it was only after the film had finished and I was like, man, I thought I'd feel something, and like started looking at reviews and started watching clips on YouTube about just the songs, like just watching the songs back, that I was like, yeah, this film had some good music. Waterloo's shit. But the rest of the movie also, like, which one was that? Harry,
young Harry,
my God, yeah. He was just sap. It was nothing. Also, the only reason she gets with me, because he's like, oh, I'll give you my virginity. And it's like, yes. Man, that was such a pity fuck.
It was a little bit. Like, it was, yeah.
It's pure, it's just like, oh yeah, he does a little music number about Waterloo, and then they have sex. Also, he goes onto the dock as if to,
wait, that hasn't happened to you?
No. Well, no, I've never sang and then got a pity fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Yes, in a bit of Waterloo.
Yeah. The girls love it.
That's it. Oh, now I know. You just got to sing a bit of Waterloo.
That's what you've been doing wrong.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's how it goes.
Now we know.
Yeah. Also, he like goes onto the dock and is like, oh, cool, I'll catch the next boat. But then you never see that character again, if memory serves.
Jan Harry, after...
Yeah, he does Waterloo. He goes onto the dock to follow her, and then you never see that character again until he's the older version.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Well. So yeah, he literally offers up his virginity, sings a song, gets a pity fuck, and then no consequences for him, apart from the fact that he then comes back. He's like, oh shit, we had sex that one time, and now you have a daughter. Must be me.
A child from his first time.
Yeah. Fucking hell. That's some strong semen.
Well, it's, you know, it's ready to go, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, like,
yeah,
first film, it was like, oh yeah, we met young Pierce Brosnan, we met young Colin Firth, we meet young Skarsgård, and they've got like the fake makeup and the big hair, and it's all fun. But like, because it's so quick cut between those different characters and the timeline, you can go, oh, it could be anyone. In this one, it's definitely not Harry because they screwed once. And then the boat guy, which one's the boat guy? Is that Bill?
That's young Bill. Yeah.
Young Bill. So did they fuck?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they fucked on his boat, didn't they?
Yeah. Best way to do it.
Yeah. So, but then like for weeks, she's with the Piers Brosnan guy. So it's obviously the Piers Brosnan guy is the dad.
No.
Time frame.
No. It's obviously Bill. It's obviously Bill.
Is that wishful thinking?
Oh, yeah, because they do that and then they break up and then she gets back with Bill,
exactly.
Doesn't she? Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
So really, there's only two possible fathers. And that Piers yeah. Brosnan.
Harry's just a wet rag. He just wants to have a...
Because he never comes back. He's not the father. We don't need no DNA test. We've got it down
50-50. It's definitely not Harry, you're right. But, you know, they can't have, you know, just two possible fathers. Oh, no, it needs to be three possible fathers.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's kind of
how
I feel.
You didn't hold back there, did he?
No, you did. I loved it, though.
I got to get my opinion out there. But, no, it is good. Like, give it a watch. If you enjoyed the first one... And you want to hear some more ABBA songs, definitely watch the second one. But if you want a different story and you want subtlety, maybe not.
It's a lot more subtlety. I just had none. Like, was it? It was like, all the dialogue was just what it
Who
was.
Who goes into Mamma Mia just... musical thinking, oh yeah, no, there'll be there'll be a grain of subtlety in this.
I don't know. I expect too much from my movies, maybe.
You do.
Yeah.
You've got to realise the movie you're going into.
I think it's relatable as well. You know, who hasn't been in that situation? They're going to get married. They're like, here's my dad.
Who has been in that situation where there's three guys?
And Cher just comes out of a helicopter out of nowhere and lands and starts singing with the hotel manager. It's happened to all of us. Right?
It happened to me last week, actually. Still don't know who the dad is.
And we know, but what have we learned from this? You send Waterloo to a girl, she's yours. It will work.
Yeah, that's what we've learned. That's the message to walk away from.
That is
from.
The message.
Just sing Waterloo.
Sing Waterloo, you'll get yourself a pity fuck.
Get yourself a pity fuck.
I think she was smiling after. I think she had a good time. Yeah.
She couldn't have, because it's his first time. He clearly doesn't know what he's doing. You know, it's his first time. So... You know, I don't know.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's like, he oh, that was incredible. Like, I had such a good time. Did you? Oh, I bet you didn't. Just come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't even get a chance to answer whether or not she had a good time.
Well, they had fun doing the musical number anyway.
They did have fun
they did.
Dancing.
Musical numbers are great. Also, the dock worker, the guy who, like, looks at people's passports and
I've
just
met
so
him.
Brutally honest.
I've actually met the actor. He came to, when I worked at the theatre Lyceum, he came there. He's so, so lovely. Genuine, the kindest person. And yeah, he's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so good, isn't it? Like, I think some of the best humour moments from this film
are in it with him.
Are him.
I agree.
Where he's just like,
you cut your hair. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I can't do accents. That's sorry.
No, it's when Colin Firth come. No, when... Oh, when Bill and
it's like time hasn't been kind to you or something.
Is Colin Firth Harry?
Yes.
Yeah. And he goes to Bill and he's like, whoa, time has not been nice.
Yeah.
Then sees Colin Firth and he's like, oh, time has made you like a fine wine. You're great now. Look at you. And he's like, yeah. And also, what was the whole bit with Colin Firth tying his arms behind his back and then falling into the water?
No.
Yeah. I admit, you know, there are some parts in the movie that kind of made me go, huh, okay. But, you know, I didn't question it.
Yeah, there was no payoff to that.
Yeah, there wasn't really.
The only payoff
to that
was...
a filler.
Yeah, it was slightly comedic because he tied himself to a chair and then the answer immediately presented itself. And then he fell into the water, almost drowning. And then Skye's like, hey, you good? I'll help you out, buddy. Questionable.
Yeah.
He's done crushing all his dreams.
No, she's got a smile on her face. I'm sure she's having fun.
Also, Julie Walters, can I just say, I just love Julie Walters.
She's good. She is good. Holly.
Hi.
I hope that you have had a good time,
I've had
honestly.
A wonderful time.
Do you have anything to plug? Do you want to send anyone anywhere to anything?
Yeah, if you want to give me a wee follow, I'm on Instagram and Twitter @HalseyB. Yeah. So yeah, follow me, and I can't promise that I won't ever talk about Mamma Mia again.
Fair enough. Make no promises, and that way you can do what the fuck you want.
Hey, yeah.
Charlie, where can people find us if they so desire to do so?
They can find us on Twitter at @FaveFilmWasAwful. They can find us on Instagram, Your Favorite Film Was Awful, and Facebook, Your Favorite Film Was Awful. They can also find us on YouTube, Your Favorite Film Was Awful. So yeah, check it out. Message us.
Yeah, give us some feedback, give us some messages. We love the contact. We love talking to you guys.
We really do.
Other than that, though, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.